Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying tale is about these two twin sisters. They go on a family trip to visit their grandparents, who live in the middle of nowhere out in the woods. And when the twin sisters venture off into the backyard, past the tree line, into the deep woods, what happens next will terrify you. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I hardly tell this story to anyone, as people would scoff at me in disbelief or think of it as a fictional story, woven by the vivid imagination of a young child. Even I myself doubted it. A part of me rejected it. Hoped that it was only an extremely realistic figment of my imagination, for what happened was possibly one of the most horrifying experiences of my life. It all started when my family took our annual road trip to my grandparents' house in Thirsk. The road trip was a tradition that we had for a long time, ever since I was a little girl. It was always something we looked forward to every year, especially me and my twin sister Alex. We were inseparable, my sister and I. It was always Allie and Alex, and absolutely no one could tell us otherwise. We looked exactly identical, from our brick red hair to every freckle on our faces. Despite that, it was relatively easy to distinguish the two of us apart when our personalities were as different as the night and day. Alex was always loud and had a personality that would fill whatever room she was in. She was an outgoing and confident child, one that would not be afraid to correct the waiter on the wrong order or defend her friends from bullies. Meanwhile, I was soft-spoken and shy. Alex would help bring me out of my shell, and I would help bring her back to earth when her ideas got too dangerous. It was a splendid duality. A balance that completed the both of us. Most important of all, we knew each other better than anyone else did. That was why I could tell something was awry when my sister came home that day. When we arrived, it was just like any other time we visited. Me and Alex excitedly bursted out of the van to leap into our grandparents' arms. Following us were our parents and our older brother, Malcolm, who was already a teenager at the time we were still kids. He was grumpy, like most teenagers normally were, and judging from his behavior, I reckoned he didn't really want to come along on this trip. I heard him grumble under his breath and heard my father turning around to scold him from his attitude. Also hearing the not-so-friendly conversation, my grandparents ushered us into the house, while mother and father had the talk with Malcolm. In the cozy living room, I plopped onto the sofa, green polka dot patterned sofa, covered with a frilly lace, and watched as my grandmother brought me a plate of her homemade chocolate chip cookies. She always spoiled us and showed us with affection, which we seldom received from our busy parents. To think of it now, maybe that was why we looked forward to the trip so much. In front of the couch I was seated on, I could see Alex, standing on a wooden stool that compensated for her missing height. There she was, happily playing with the porcelain figurines of angels and various creatures on the marble mantle above the burning fireplace. Her mischievous little hands crept like spiders to grasp a small scale replica of a hazel brown deer, adorned with painted ceramic flowers atop its head. The figurine, however, proved to be much too heavy, so down it went, slipping through her fingers and landing onto the ground with a piercing crash. My grandmother let out a gasp as she rushed to Alex and observed her legs for any wounds made by the broken shards of the ceramic figurine. Luckily, there were none, making both me and my grandmother sigh in relief.
"Sweetheart, please never do that again."
My grandmother picked the confused-looking Alex up from the stool.
"Now I'd have to replace this little deer you broke with the new one."
I glanced at the poor deer in question. Its body was smashed into smithereens, although the head remained mostly intact. I felt a sense of unease overwhelm me when I noticed its deep brown eyes staring into mine. Its painted expression was still full of cheer despite the pitiful state it was in.
"Don't worry, Grandma," Alex chimed in. "No one will notice."
My grandmother began to look visibly uncomfortable. She simply ignored what Alex had said. However, the look of concern in her eyes remained.
"I should have to fetch a broom to clean this up now," she muttered under her breath, placing Alex next to me and walking towards the pantry.
Not even a second later, Malcolm stormed into the house, his footsteps fast and angry, across the creaking floors. My parents soon followed, their paces equally as heavy. Even as a child, deep down I knew what was going to happen. Still, I felt tears stinging up in my eyes and the fear of any confrontation that would tear our family apart lingered inside me. Sensing my discomfort, Alex gripped my hand and tilted her head at me with a smile.
"Come on, Allie, let's go play outside."
She ushered me through the back door of the house before anyone could start yelling. The freezing wind hit my face the moment I stepped out into the vast forest that served as my grandparents' backyard. Me and Alex often played in these woods. The green of the trees gave off a comforting presence, compared to the dull gray of Mammoth, the city that we called home. No further away, a small river coursed through the rocks. I remember fondly Alex jumping into the river, despite it being winter, and dragging me along with her. We got a cold for a week later, and we both laughed it off nonetheless.
"Allie!"
she called out to me, her hair blowing in the wind like a dancing flame. She grinned.
"Catch me if you can!"
I followed her deeper into the woods, running and laughing all the while. We dashed through the mass of thick bushes and trees, never letting each other out of sight. At that moment, I didn't care which direction we went, because my only goal then was to catch my sister. I didn't realize the mistake I made until I stopped to catch my breath and noticed the very unfamiliar surroundings. I was lost, and Alex, who had been in front of me a moment ago, was nowhere to be found. I suddenly felt vulnerable, and the forest that was previously so calming had become a frightening endless thicket full of unknown dangers. The light breeze rustled the crisp leaves, emitting an eerie noise that caused my skin to crawl. I didn't know what scared me more, the fact that I was entirely alone in a forest that would take me days to walk through, or for the fact there might possibly be something out there with me. Shuddering, I tried to convince myself that Alex was playing a trick on me, and that it was only part of her silly antics. She would soon appear out of a bush behind me, then she would tease me about how scared I was. We would both joke about it, and get out of these wretched woods back into the safety of my grandparents' house. I truly thought Alex was once again being her naughty self, so I waited.
"Alex,"
I uttered in a shaky voice.
"You can come out now, wherever you're hiding."
There was no response, aside from the low hum of the branches swaying in the hypnotic rhythm. I began to feel frustrated. How cruel she was, to leave me shivering with terror while she herself was watching me, probably smiling and stifling her laugh.
"Alex, this isn't funny anymore,"
I shouted in a combined mix of panic and anger. At that point, my irritation was starting to rise immensely. Although I considered to continue searching for my sister, my young brain still knew better to wade deeper into the forest. God knows how I would end up if I did. So, I took a deep breath in the attempt to calm myself and retrace the steps I had came from. Looking up beyond the treetops, I could see the cloudless sky gradually shift from a pale cobalt blue to soft violet and orange. I knew I had to reach the house before nightfall, and I had to alert my family about my missing sister. I dashed, as quickly as my sore feet could take me until I heard the familiar sound of flowing water in the distance. Relief washed over my tired body when I spotted the stream, trickling down the moss-covered pebbles. The feeling of security enveloped me, nonetheless knowing that I was safe, while Alex was not, made me worry about her even more. At the far sight of my vision, I finally caught a glimpse of a tall, lanky figure, with his head hung low, smoking a half-burned cigarette near the house's back porch. "Malcolm!" I cried, sprinting up towards my brother in full speed and tumbling into him. I tried my best to tell him about Alex and that she was lost in the forest, but in the end, all my emotions merged together to form an indecipherable, tearful sob. "Allie, what's wrong?" he asked, his voice genuinely sounding concerned. Simultaneously, he tried to comfort me the best he could. I whimpered and meekly stammered, "Alex, she's lost." His bamboozled expression puzzled me even more, and to my surprise, he merely chuckled. "What do you mean? Alex came back about 10 minutes ago," he explained, then pointed to the house. There was a long pause, the whole time I was processing the information that he had just told me. How did Alex return before me, when she was the one who led me into the woods and was always ahead of me? Was Malcolm in on this? Were they both playing a prank on me? Momentarily, I peered back at the house and sure enough, I saw her bright head of hair moving behind the glass pane of the screen door. There she was, once again, my sister giggling on the sofa with the same happy-go-lucky grin on her face. I was beyond livid. Slamming open the door, I was prepared to confront Alex for leaving me all alone in the forest. Normally, I would tolerate her little games and leg pulls. She took it too far this time. I could have froze to death or gotten mauled by a wild beast. I wasn't going to let her get away with it. So I strode over to where she was, rage spreading throughout my whole being, ready to give her a piece of my mind. Until she spun her upper body towards me and I froze in my steps. I wasn't sure what I was seeing. Alex's pupils were impossibly dilated, inhuman, like the glassy eye of a nocturnal animal. She did not blink, not even a single time in the duration of a minute I stared at her. A popping and cracking sound could audibly be heard when she craned her neck sideways in a curious manner. "Allie?" she spoke, the shock in her robotic tone seeming awfully frightening. "You're back so soon." All of the fury I suppressed from earlier immediately returned, bubbling over the surface, topping over like a pot of boiling water. "You left me in the woods in the middle of nowhere. It's not funny." I scowled at her, my brows furrowed into a tight knot. My sister still looked at me, her dazed eyes staring blankly as if trapped in a trance. Her mouth, however, curled up into a smile, one that was supposed to feel playful but didn't. "I don't know what you're talking about." I felt sick, a nauseous kind of sick. Partially, it might have been because of the stench that was beginning to emanate from somewhere. It took a while, but I soon recognized it as a putrid smell of rotten flesh as its final stages of decomposition, like roadkill left on the road for far too long. Then, out of the blue, Alex stood up. She walked, no, stumbled away, the dreadful miasma of death and decay leaving along with her, and she was gone. I don't know how my family managed to turn a blind eye on what had been going on with Alex, whether it had been the tense of sudden movements or unblinking the eyes, or the smell, the god-awful smell that followed her everywhere she went. Even when we sat down at the dinner table, I observed more unusual behavior from my sister. Under normal circumstances, Alex would always be seated to my right. Many times before, she had thrown tantrums whenever we were separated, until eventually my mother would let her get her way. That evening, she opted for the seat opposite mine. It was unnerving, to say the least, when I felt her gaze on me the whole time, staring, watching my every move.
I could have been practicing with my band right now, I heard Malcolm groan. Well, at the moment you're here. I think what you need is some fresh air, not hanging around with those no-good rock star wannabes, Father stated, glancing expectantly at my mother to back him up. She said nothing, only silently eating the food in her plate. I smelled a fight coming up from a mile away. That would usually be the point when Alex asked me to play, or to do something with her, in order to leave the scene. I waited in anticipation for her signal, but she never did it. She was being very weird still. I told myself I was just imagining all of it up, which honestly was a lot more comforting than the other option. Inevitably, I had to look up from the table and came face to face with my sister once more. The Alex who did not like eating meat because she didn't want to hurt the cowsies and chickies was downing a fat chunk of steak hungrily, as if she had been starving for days. She kept chewing and chewing as she devoured piece after piece of the juicy meat, sometimes carefully picking every single fiber of flesh off of the bones, sometimes stretching her mouth all the way open and ingurgitating whole blocks of roast at a time. I was flabbergasted. No one paid any mind to Alex. It seemed like they were all focused on Malcolm and my father.
Shut up, old man. Just don't come back begging me for money when the Wrath of Nagarjia gets famous, my brother snapped, almost yelling.
I glared at Alex, her pearly white teeth slowly gnashing and grinding on the stringy pieces of crimson-red beef. The chomping produced a canopy of gut-churning squelches that made me want to empty my entire stomach out.
Good Lord, even the name sounds satanic, Father sighed exasperatingly, pressing the back of his palm against his forehead.
In front of me, Alex's mouth split into a wide crescent-shaped grin. The pale shade of red blood mixed with saliva trickled down her chin. That was it. I slammed my hands on the table, leaving behind my half-eaten dinner and bolting up the stairs. Shutting the door after me, I barged into my grandparents' bedroom and collapsed onto the quilt-covered bed. I was afraid, infuriated, and frankly confused. I didn't want to be with my sister, let alone feel safe around her. Not anymore. I knew her best, from every little habit, every little quirk down to the way she walked and talked. From what I saw, I was certainly convinced that whatever thing that was at the dinner table was posing as Alex. It was as if under the surface of her skin, there was something else taking over her body. Even then, what was I supposed to do? Surely I had to tell someone, so I could finally find out what was wrong. My father was the first person I ruled out, since he was a very non-nonsense kind of person. Without a second thought, he would obviously shrug it off. No one would believe an 8-year-old girl rambling about a monster replacing her sister, right?
Alice, are you all right?
Mother's voice echoed from the halls. She was the only person who ever called me that. Alice. The door swung open, and on the other side was my dear mother. Her face was slightly wrinkled from the old age. Nevertheless, the layers of makeup covered them perfectly. She sat down on the bed next to me and stroked my hair. I wished that I could say it helped, but it did not at all.
There's no need to be upset, dear. Your father and your brother had just had a...
She paused.
A disagreement, that's all.
No, Mother. It's Alex. It's not Alex. You won't believe me, but something is taking the form of Alex. It's not her. The moment that the words came out of my mouth was when I started to realize everything wasn't making any sense. I wasn't making any sense. My mother was speechless. She didn't look scared, just perplexed. Her lips were parted and her brows were raised. That was the look of disbelief.
Honey, I'm sure it's nothing. Your sister was just being weird like usual.
No, it's real. That grin downstairs isn't Alex.
I half shouted. I never had raised my own voice to any of my parents before, and never thought I was capable of doing so until then. I hid myself under the covers, away from my mother, away from my faux sister. Mother exhaled. I didn't know what she was thinking then, but at least she knew that I was being serious.
What do you want me to do then, Alice?
She huffed, ripping the blanket off of me. You want me to tie her to a stake, feed her to the wolves, maybe? No, I sobbed. Just let me sleep in your room, please. Mother's expression softened and she answered me reluctantly.
All right, all right. Now then, let's go back downstairs, shall we?
The rest of the evening was rather uneventful. As night fell, I took a long shower in the upstairs bathroom. Through the pale green glass of the window, the night outside was cold and starless. I stood still, letting the warm water cascade over my head, hoping that if I closed my eyes and prayed hard enough, everything would turn out to be a bad nightmare and I could just wake up from it. I was starting to unwind as I stepped out of the shower and got dressed. Sadly, that peace was short-lived, interrupted by the sound of my father's yelling, coming from the guest room. Inching closer and closer, I peeked through the crack of the door, wide enough to unveil the scene inside. Oh, mother, my poor mother was cowering on the ground. She was shaking, almost convulsing. Still, her hands were high above her head, striving to protect herself. And my father, the source of all her fears, hovered over her, his shadow tall and full of hatred. I had seen him lose his temper on countless occasions, and it was frightening every single time. That night, though, must have been the worst I'd ever witnessed. I didn't fully understand the words Father shouted, but I knew the argument was about me somehow. Everything was a blur. I remember him saying I was sick and that Mother had something to do with it. Guilt bloomed inside of me and sunk deep within my skin. The next thing I knew, he had done it again. I heard a deafening blow. Father struck her with the fist. Mother suffered a hit to her face that reddened it and caused a trail of blood to come rushing down from her broken nose. It wouldn't kill her, but it was blood, and it was already enough to make me panic. I had to find my grandparents or my brother, ask them to help aid my mother, so I decided to head to the living room where they would usually be found. The room was dimly lit by the dying fire and hearth. It was empty, devoid of all life. Not on the green spotted sofa where my grandmother often napped in, nor on the cushion by her side where my grandfather and my brother would smoke together. The stench of burnt tobacco that always loitered after they smoked was gone too. I caught ringing in my ears. The high-pitched and rhythmic beats melted into hushed whispers. They were too muffled to process. Yet, there was one point where the voices became so thunderous, they blocked out the commotion with my parents upstairs. I heard thousands of voices that night, every single one different from the other. They screamed, they sung, and they spoke to me all at once. It was horrifically magical. They urged me to walk down the hallway to the kitchen, its light beckoning me. My grandparents and my brother, they had to be in there. Every step I took, I became more wary, eyes scanning from side to side, making sure my shadow was the only one dancing on the walls. Under my feet, the squeaking wooden floor made it increasingly difficult for me to not be detected. The whispers grew even louder than before, until I finally stepped foot into the kitchen. Time ceased to advance, as did the whispers, which stopped completely, like they were afraid of something. The ceiling light above flickered on and off above me like a spotlight, illuminating the whole space. Every subject was perfectly pristine, tied in their assigned spots, the silverware, the pots, pans, and plates. Still, no grandparents or Malcolm to be found anywhere. I felt my heart sink into my stomach. They couldn't have possibly went outside at this late of hour. The door in the kitchen, which led to the backyard and the woods, was securely locked, the way my grandmother liked to keep it after dark.
I was about to make my way back upstairs, but I sensed something wasn't right. A chill crawled up my spine as the air around me grew cold. My nose crunched up at the malodorous smell of rotten carrion that started to waft into the room. I knew what was coming, and I forced myself to turn around to confront my fears. Alex stood right in front of me, a mirrored image of myself. She was rigid, her limbs flexing and clutching so much that they were jolting sideways. She stared into my eyes with her own soulless ones, absorbing every detail, every petrified feature on my face. When I blinked, she did the same, although with greater difficulty, driving her eyeballs down one by one. No, this wasn't right. Her face, her eyes, everything. It was so unnerving I couldn't begin to describe it. Even recalling the thought now, it continues to make me sick to my stomach like a hard punch in the gut. Alex's skin, it was paler, only a slight shade paler but still noticeable. The veins on her body began to bulge, pulsating along with every heartbeat. I swear I heard the sound of bones cracking every time she made a pitiful attempt to move forward. Only when she had moved closer, I noticed that pale white skin was starting to detach from her body. I shrieked in terror as I watched the outer layer of my sister's leg fall to the ground with a splat like a slab of meat. The chunks of her face melted into a deformed mass of muscle and nerves. The skin of her body peeled apart, releasing an unholy amount of blood to seep through her tendons and splatter onto the floor like red rain. Yellow and waxy matter oozed out of her body, which made a disgusting squelching sound with every rip and tear. The noise of rupturing bones returned and soon brought me to a dreadful conclusion. She was stretching. The gruesome transformation gave birth to a monstrosity that towered above me, looking down on me like I was its prey. "Allie, hello," that horrendous thing croaked. Its voice dragged on unnaturally, like a broken voice recorder, trying to mimic a human speaking and failing terribly. A low and throaty gurgle echoed out of its throat as its thin, bony fingers reached out to me. I backed away quickly, the moment it waddled towards me, its knees bending inward and its left foot dragged behind it. And its smile. Oh God, its crooked smile. The sides of its mouth were stretched out to its ears, revealing rows of jagged teeth. Instead of saliva, there was blood pooling at the root of its gums. The black inside its irises clouded its eyeballs like an eclipse, taking out the last bit of humanity left. The thing, it was blocking the doorway so that I couldn't leave. I was afraid for my life. It was going to kill me. I knew it was, unless I did something to it first. It appeared to me that the whispers also agreed. "Kill it!" The harmony of voices echoed. Angels! They were my guardian angels, warning me, comforting me. Their melodious voices, pure and holy, poured into my ears, telling me to banish this thing that was my sister back to wherever it came from. "Kill it!" They chanted in unison like a heavenly choir as I grabbed the bloodied knife from the kitchen sink, prepared to fulfill their bidding. I seized the weapon tightly into my grasp until my knuckles turned white. The thing uttered, craning its head to the side as I forcibly plunged the blade into its tender flesh. A guttural howl erupted from the beast's maw and reverberated through the whole area. Crimson spilled from the gash, adding on to the metallic smell in the air. I heaved breathlessly, withdrawing the knife from its torso. The abrupt move pushed the monstrosity backwards, dropping down its back. I panted, my vision becoming blurry. Hobbling over the defeated creature, I straddled it. My hands were tainted red, along with the knife that was raised above my head, ready to end the fight once and for all. I heard my mother's heart-wrenching scream as she stood standing in the doorway. Father was behind her, shouting at a frightened Malcolm to call the police. Their gazes were full of fear and disgust. I grinned, thinking I had to prove them wrong. I saved them from this monster. But the look in their eyes, they were not afraid of it. They were afraid of me. Looking down, I came face to face with my sister. My baby sister, Alex. Her human face was twisted in pain and her breathing was heavy, clinging to life as best she could. I was numb. I felt nothing. Not even sadness when Mother shoved me off my sister and hugged her body weeping. Not even fear of death when Father held me over the ground and strangled me. I felt no guilt over what I did, for I defended my family. They were safe, and it was all that mattered to me. The monster was gone. Soon, the red and blue lights came and they took me in. I overheard them talking of finding two bodies dead in the backyard, my grandparents. I cried myself to sleep that night, for it was my fault. I was too late. My remaining family shipped me off to a mental institution to grieve alone, far away from home. They never dared to set their eyes on me again after that incident. I soon grew to enjoy my own company. The angels agreed that I was better off without them anyways. I never knew what happened to them because they never came to visit. Prior to that fateful day, my 21st birthday, I was in my room in the middle of finishing a book when I was informed by a nurse that there would be some visitors for me. Journalists, probably a TV show hosts, seeking to make some sort of profit out of me. Either way, I had plenty of interactions with them ever since I was a child. I figured it would be nothing new to me. Four nurses were sent to supervise the visit, which I found rather strange. Usually they would only send two, after all. I was seated at my table, trying to peer out the small glass pane of my door. There was quite a ruckus outside that slowly quieted down. I waited in anticipation for the door to open. But then, I heard a familiar voice I once knew a long time ago. "Are you sure, honey?" The woman spoke sweetly. "You don't have to do this." "Mother, finally! My family was here!" Though I tried to fool myself to think that I didn't miss them, I still wanted to know how they had been. We were better apart. But perhaps it was all right that we saw each other from time to time. I prayed that they might forgive me and understand my actions. I killed the thing that was Alex for their own good. I beamed, hopefully at the door, wishing for Malcolm to walk in. Oh, how I missed him. I was full of joy, certain nothing could ruin my mood. Then my stomach dropped, as I glanced at the head of fiery red hair that appeared behind the glass pane, red hair like mine. The door flung open and that foul, mephitic smell hit my nose. I howled in despair, tears running down my face. The nurses had to restrain me with all their might to keep me from lunging at that thing. It wasn't dead. It wasn't my sister. It wasn't my sister. I knew that was true. I was forced down onto the chair while Alex sat down on the opposite of me. I was staring at a mirror once again. That thing was calm, arguably more humane than in my last encounter. It was taunting me with its freedom, showing me that I was the one in a cage while it was enjoying the comforts of the outside world. It started to grin, the edge of its mouth expanding, baring its razor-sharp teeth at me, and I wailed, for no matter how much I cried, no one would believe me. I screamed, along with the voices, the angels, that screamed with me.